This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about thrill-seeking. Thrill-seeking can be dangerous, risky, and sometimes deadly. Mike Hughes was a limousine driver turned stuntman. He built small, sleek-looking rockets and rode inside them as they launched away from Earth. He was obsessed with getting to the edge of the Earth's atmosphere because he was a flat earther, and he wanted to get a look from far above to prove his point.
You know, some people ask me what brought me to this point, you know, believing in the flat Earth, and I say, sure. Well, really? My goal in life was to be the road manager for the Spice Girls, and they broke up, and I didn't know what else to do.
From Los Angeles, Avishai Artsy has the strange and tragic story of daredevil Mad Mike Hughes.
Mad Mike Hughes built 7 rockets and rode in 3 of them. His final rocket launch on February 22, 2020, ended in his death. He was 64 years old. Justin Chapman is a freelance journalist who'd been following Mike for a while and went out to see the launch in the desert outside Barstow, California.
There were about 50 spectators there. There were a couple of live streamers, like YouTubers, some Flat Earth folks, and there was a TV crew that was filming the launch for a Science Channel show called Homemade Astronauts.
But as soon as the rocket took off, it was clear something was wrong.
It launched up into the air, and a parachute came dislodged from the rocket and got caught in the thrust, and that floated off to the ground.
The rocket did a huge arc. It disappeared into the sky for a moment, and then it started to fall.
And as it's coming down, everyone started realizing that his parachutes weren't coming out. Even if they had, at this point, it was going to be too late. And he nosedived directly into the desert floor. And people are wailing and crying, and there were kids there, people who knew him, and it was just shock silence for 15 minutes.
It's like a lawn dart. Hit the ground at somewhere between 400 and 500 miles an hour.
Waldo Stakes was Mike's close friend and collaborator. He taught him how to build rockets.
Mike was blasted into 1,000 pieces, 1,000 little pieces. In fact, when you see the video, you see this black cloud. That's not dirt. That's Mike.
The paramedics raced over, but it was quickly clear that this had been Mike's final ride. This launch was really supposed to be a publicity stunt, not the last run. Mike and Waldo built their rockets out of spare parts. They were hoping to catch the interest of investors to fund their ultimate goal of building a Rockoon, a part rocket, part balloon, that could launch Mike 62 miles up to the Kármán line, the border between Earth's atmosphere and outer space, before he'd parachute back down.
The idea was to make Mike the greatest daredevil of all time, undisputed. He went to space, and we built it in our backyard. See? The ability to build this stuff is never beyond your reach.
Mike's hope was that at that altitude, he could see what shape the planet really is. As Mike told CBS, he was open to being proved wrong.
The flat Earth thing is like everything else to me. I just want people to question everything. I expect to see a flat disc up there. I don't have an agenda. If it's around Earth or a ball, I'm going to come down and say, hey, guys, I'm bad. It's a ball.
Mike grew up in Oklahoma City and worked as a limo driver for years. Those who knew him say he was quiet and friendly, was devoted to his 4 cats, loved women, and worked hard. But Mike also had a lot of out there ideas. He was skeptical of science and gravity and the moon landing and 9/11, and he wasn't shy about sharing those views, like in this Fox interview.
You know, you start studying these different things, and one day the flat Earth popped up, and I go, holy moly. I think it's kind of like a bullseye. I think there's land outside of these different circles, and we don't know how big the circles go. Does that make sense? It's kind of like a pizza that just kind of keeps growing.
Waldo says Mike wasn't dumb. And while he did believe the Earth is flat, he was also working that angle to get attention. For the last decade of his life, Mike lived on a ranch that Waldo owns, down a long sandy road near the desert town of Apple Valley, about 90 miles northeast of Los Angeles. The name, El Ranchito Raquete, is inscribed above the gate, along with steer horns and a horseshoe. Vehicles in various states of construction are scattered around.
This is a car I'm working on. It's 53 feet long and can do right around Mach 3, supposedly.
Waldo is known in the Daredevil community for designing and building rocket-powered cars and boats that break speed records. He first heard about Mike and his homemade rocket through a friend back in 2008 and gave him a call.
And he goes, "Do you want to see the rocket?" And I said, "You're building something?" He goes, "Yeah, I got it built." He goes, "Do you want to see it?" I'm like, "Hell yeah, I want to see it."
Waldo says he gets lots of calls from people wanting to build rocket-powered vehicles once they get the money. He was intrigued that Mike had gotten as far as he did.
And I looked at him, he goes, "What do you think?" He's all proud. I said, "It's going to kill you. It's a piece of crap, man. It just balances off. The fins are too small. You're sitting at the center of gravity, so the rocket will want to rotate around you." I go, it's horrible. "For sure, it's going to kill you." And he goes, "Can you teach me how to make it not kill me?"
At the ranch, next to a double-wide mobile home, Waldo showed me around a makeshift museum stored inside 5 shipping containers. They're filled floor to ceiling with memorabilia devoted to fast cars, boats, and planes. There's an entire shipping container about daredevils.
This is basically a museum dedicated to people who did amazing stuff.
There are framed photos and magazine covers, kids' toys, even a couple of antique motorcycles, harkening back to Daredevil's past.
This area here starts out with early daredevilry. The first person to go over Niagara Falls intentionally was Annie Edson Taylor, a 60-year-old school teacher.
There are figurines and posters of Evel Knievel, and then I spot a familiar face on the wall. It's Waldo.
That's a picture of me hanging out of the back of a B-25 bomber at 250 miles an hour and 5,000 feet. I took a selfie, I anchored myself, I hung my body out of the airplane, and basically was held there by the airflow.
This kind of behavior might seem insane to most of us, but Waldo says that throughout history, innovative risk-takers have driven some of our greatest advancements in travel. Glenn Curtiss built and raced bicycles and motorcycles before he became the leading American manufacturer of aircraft and the pioneer of flying boats. Henry Ford raced cars before starting his own automobile company. The entire back section of the Daredevil exhibition feels like a memorial to Mad Mike Hughes and his stunts.
He held the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest limousine jump. He started out as a dirt bike racer, and he was really good. In fact, he won so many championships and stuff, he would throw the trophies away. He didn't care about that. He just cared about the prize money and the trophy girl.
There are parachutes and parts of rockets, framed photos of Mike and the crew, and even a cocktail shaker containing some of Mike's cremated remains. All of these objects speak to a life lived to the extreme.
I'll tell you something about Mike. He was the kind of guy who, like, when he was set on something, that was it. That's all he thought about. And he had a work ethic like I couldn't believe. He'd get up 6 o'clock in the morning. He'd be out here working here at the ranch until nighttime, not eat anything, not do anything but work on his rocket.
Waldo recalls a previous rocket launch that nearly killed Mike. He was going about 350 miles an hour with a parachute designed to deploy at 100 miles an hour.
So he throws a chute and it just shreds like a confetti. But it was just enough to get him to the ground. He hit the ground, we figured, at 60 miles an hour. And he was in a walker for about 3 months. Once he got that he could walk, started building his next rocket. He just was not going to stop. He figured that he was going to get famous enough that he was going to run for governor.
Mike often spoke about wanting to inspire people to follow their dreams, says Justin Chapman. But he also wanted fame.
So much so that it killed him. I mean, he wanted his life to have some meaning, because I think for a long time he felt like it didn't have a lot of meaning. And then, you know, he was disappointed as life went on that, you know, his name didn't catch on the way Evel Knievel's did, even though he was doing these extreme stunts.
Waldo thinks what motivated Mike was simple.
Fame, chicks, money. He was into the whole hero thing.
Toby Brusso is a filmmaker who made a documentary about Mike before he died called Rocket Man. He says Mike wanted the world to adore him.
Mike was trying to be relevant, trying to be loved the only way he knew how, right? And that was by being a stuntman, by doing these crazy things.
But what Mike mostly got instead, particularly from comedians and people on social media, was ridicule.
Smart enough to build a missile from scratch, yet stupid enough to climb inside. Am I kind of crazy?
Look, any idiot can sit in their bedroom uploading conspiracy theories to YouTube, but it takes a special idiot to launch himself into space for the cause.
Toby Brusso's movie painted a sympathetic picture of Mike and his efforts.
In the film, we wanted to find the pathos of Mike, the relatability. and challenge people to see him as a person rather than this crazy conspiracy theorist. Because when it comes down to it, regardless of your belief, we all need a win in our lives, and Mike deserved a win.
But Mike never got that win. And Justin Chapman says it's hard to ignore the role that conspiracy theories played in his death. The decal on his rocket said, "Research Flat Earth."
The conspiracy stuff radicalized him, like so many people have in the past few years. He did his, quote-unquote, his own research on YouTube. I mean, the level of disinformation and misinformation is really out of control. And Mike is a perfect example of the logical endpoint of that kind of radicalization.
Waldo sees it differently. It was Mike's hubris that killed him.
And he became more and more and more famous, but the more and more famous he became, the more difficult he became, the more headstrong he became.
Mike insisted on adding a metal ladder to get into the rocket, even though Waldo and the team warned him that it would interfere with the launch. Here's Justin again.
What killed him was he didn't listen to Waldo and his team about some pretty basic safety measures.
Mike also refused to add automatically deploying parachutes to the rocket.
You know, he told Waldo, you know, "I'm a daredevil. If I can't pull the parachutes myself, I deserve what I get."
Waldo says Mike knew the risks he faced, but he kept getting back in the rocket.
"Every time you get in one of these things, it's a 50-50 chance. You take those dice in your hand and you roll them. Sometimes it comes up snake eyes."
Waldo doesn't regret teaching Mike how to build rockets. Even though it cost Mike his life, he's proud of what they did together.
"This is how I want you to remember him. I want you to remember him jamming through the clouds at damn near the speed of sound. Okay, that's how I think of him. I get a little emotional when I say that. But that's how I want people to remember him. But on top of that, I want you to realize what he was saying. You can do anything. The only person who stops you is you. So get out there and live life." He lived life, man. He lived it to the fullest. He really did.
From Los Angeles, I'm Avishai Artsy.